does God want us to think about and respond to the evil of abortion and its total stranglehold on the mind and heart of this nation? What should our attitude be? And what should we do once our hearts are made right before God? This is Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Today we have the first part of a special message from Pastor John Speed. John is a leader in the true war against abortion and has a compelling message that we absolutely need to hear. Please stay with us and let's join Pastor Speed.
I've been pastoring for about 28 years and only been going to the mills for about coming up on 10. And I want to share with you some thoughts I've had from Scripture. You know, you're at this point in the conference. I'm not sure what else to sort of say to get you to go do something other than what's already been said. If you don't have a desire to do anything, I don't know that I can create it, and no one can. That's going to be an act of the Spirit of God in your heart, the Word of God and the Spirit of God acting on your heart to motivate you and mobilize you. But I do want to bring out three principles from the Word of God and jump around a little bit to get these three principles. The first one is if you're going to go out to the murder mill, the reason why you're going to go is because you have a certain lament on your heart. There's a certain brokenness in your heart that has to exist. God will break your heart for it. You say, well, I don't really have any tears for this right now. You just need to get out there and go and watch. Maybe just go out there and pray and watch and see what's happening at the mill, and it won't take long. You know, you'll see things out there that'll crush your heart. So lament. The second one is love. Love. You can't go from lament to anger. It's very important. But you don't go from lament to bitterness or lament to anger, but lament to love. All right? So love's got to be a huge part of that. And then a word that you've been hearing quite a bit in this conference is interposition. Some people think they can lament and love and not do anything. You'll have a heart that's broken, and oh, I love these people. But if you don't do anything, don't really, honestly, don't talk much about your love or your lament for that matter, because you know there's nothing going on there. It'll result in something. So these are scriptural principles, and I want to look at them. But before we do, let's just pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that I have to be here today. Lord, I'm just grateful for your providence in my life to bring me here. You move heaven and earth and do amazing things to make sure that people hear what you want them to hear and do what you want them to do. And Lord, I pray that you would take this message and, Lord, you burn it into our hearts, burn it into mine afresh. And I pray, Lord, that we would be changed by your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so lament. Let's start with Habakkuk chapter 1. So let's take a look at that. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. If you know about Habakkuk, you've got two laments, two complaints that Habakkuk has in verses, in the first chapter. And the first lament that he has is a lament that regards the covenant people of God. There ought to be a lament, yes, that abortion's happening, but there also, you have to look around at today's evangelical landscape and lament for the church. Be broken for the church. That's what Habakkuk does in the first four verses. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Now he's lamenting what's happening amongst the covenant people of God. This is not him talking about what's happening outside of the church. He's talking about what's happening inside of it. He's a prophet. He's a prophet to Judah, and he's contemporary with another prophet, Jeremiah. And when you see violence in Habakkuk, the word appears here twice in these verses. It appears five times in the book of Habakkuk. But that word violence is the word Hamas. You may have heard that in the news somewhere. Well, with violence, this violence that's going on, it's very specific. It's not a general reference to violence. It's not saying, well, people are just mean, or there's violence in the urban neighborhoods or something. He's saying, no, there's child sacrifice going on, because that's the context. That's the historical context of the violence that's happening in Judah. In Judah. So if you go and you look at Jeremiah 7, I'm not going to take you there, but you can look at it on your own. You look at Jeremiah 7, you've got the covenant people of God offering up their own children to Molech. And they're mixing their worship. They're mixing it. They're taking that pagan worship of Molech and they're trying to mix it with the worship of the true God of Israel. God says at the end of Jeremiah 7, it never even came into my mind. This wasn't even something, you know, that why would you think? Why? What you really have happening is you have false prophets at that same time saying, this God says it's okay. God says it's okay. That's why God says in Jeremiah 7, never came into my mind, to be very clear, that whatever you're hearing anywhere else, this never crossed my mind to tell you that. That's the false prophets making that garbage up. So we need to have a lament. I don't see much lament. Not about the condition of the church, not about the condition of this country. I don't see much lament over anything. What would it take, honestly, for the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States of America to repent? I wonder if like a virus broke out. You know, if that would do it. I wonder if an economic collapse would do it. I wonder if rioting in the streets, watching cop cars burn, you know, out in front of CNN in Atlanta or something, would do that. Or if maybe in Seattle, people just took over an entire, you know, city, part of a city, throw the police out, just declare a lawless zone and try for like a socialist revolution right there in Seattle. I wonder if that would do it. I think we all know the answer. No. You see, God cares enough about the violence that's in our midst, in our country, and the violence primarily that the church has put up with, to say, I'll bring judgment. So God says in the rest of chapter 1, he says, I'll answer your lament. I'll answer your question. Why is this all happening? Well, I'm about to bring judgment. I'm going to send the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and they're going to come and they're going to crush the covenant people of God. That wasn't the answer Habakkuk was looking for. I wonder how far God would go as long as the church remains dry-eyed and with no lament over her complicity with abortion, among other things. So, John Calvin, on this unanswered prayer of verse 2, he says, now this passage teaches us that all who really serve and love God ought, according to the prophet's example, to burn with holy indignation whenever they see wickedness reigning without restraint among men, and especially in the church of God. There is indeed nothing which ought to cause us more grief than to see men raging with profane contempt for God and no regard had for his law and for divine truth and all order trodden underfoot. When therefore such a confusion appears to us, we must feel roused if we have in us any spark of religion. The church needs to get a pulse again. We need to wake up. We need to regain our prophetic voice. We need to look at what's happening within our church and grieve it. Within our churches. The compromise that's already been laid out for us today, Dusty laid out for us today. The guilt, the blood that's on our hands, on my hands, right? We need to own it. We need to own it. I used to be, to say that I used to be critical of AHA is like, it's an understatement. But they were right about so many things, free the states, right about so many things. And one of the things that they're right about is the crying need of the church to repent. May God have mercy on us. So he's lamenting. He's got an unanswered prayer. He's lamenting violence. The word violence denotes flagrant violation of moral law by which man injures primarily his fellow man. The only books with more occurrences of the word of violence than Habakkuk are Psalms and Proverbs. It's everywhere. If you're going to understand the Old Testament, you have to understand child sacrifice. You have to understand how predominant it was. And so I hope you're waking up to that, but I hope you're waking up to the reality. And it is the reality that here in the Bible Belt, if you could stop Christians, professing Christians, from going to the abortion clinics, you would probably shut them down. I mean, I lived in Texas for a while before this. I got started in Texas back around 2011, moved to New York shortly thereafter, been involved up there for about 8 years, planning a church and also going out to the abortion clinics, did a couple of films. Documentaries, babies are murdered here, babies are still murdered here. Came back to Texas, and what I see at the clinics is a lot of religious people going and saying, well, yeah, I'm pro-life, but I'm in this situation. I'm pro-life, but I don't trust God here in this situation. And why are they doing it? It's because, honestly, the churches aren't preaching about it. They're not talking about it inside the church, and they're certainly not going outside of the church. They're not dealing with legislators. You've heard about that. We're not doing it rightly. It's a train wreck. We need to lament. We need to have something of the spirit of Habakkuk. We need to see the sin that's predominant. Verse 3, why do you make me see iniquity? Why do you idly look at wrong? It seems like God's not doing anything, Habakkuk is saying. Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. And there's injustice in verse 4. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. I don't even know what to add to that other than what we've been hearing today, right? I mean, ignore Roe for crying out loud. Ignore Roe. Tell the Supreme Court, go pound sand. Go pound sand. You make a ruling, it's not even a law, it's a ruling about a case and hold that over us as if it's justice. If that doesn't wake you up and if you don't get a little bit of verse 4 in your heart, I don't know what's wrong with you. Go get saved or something. Repent, you know. The law is paralyzed. Justice isn't going forth. The wicked surround the righteous and justice goes forth perverted. It's a perverted justice that allows this to happen in our land. And then when the police come to the abortion clinic, they're always coming for us. What in the world is that? Lament. We need to get broken over it. And that's got to be God. It's got to be supernatural that he breaks us. We got to pray that God would, and if you're not broken over it, just keep praying and asking God to break you over it. Until he does, because this matters. You ought to care about this. I don't know how to make you care about it. The second step is not just lament. If you stay there and lamenting, you can get bitter and you can get angry. But you got to have some love. And that's predominant within the church. We're supposed to be about that. Mark chapter 12, Jesus taught us something about love. In Mark 12, 28 through 31, you've heard this all before. This is like Sunday school, I guess, when it comes to content. You've heard it a zillion times. Verse 28. One of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So you guys know about this, right? I mean, we've all heard it. In verse 30, Jesus is saying, you need to love God with every ounce of your being, whether you're talking about your heart, which is the center of your intellect, your emotions, and your will, your soul, the unseen part of yourself that is there, right? That leaves when you die and your body's there and everybody goes and looks at you at the funeral, at your body, and that you just know that whatever made them is gone, okay? The soul is gone. With all your mind, with all your strength, with everything, love God. Very simple. But what that means is if you love him, you're going to love him enough to obey him, right? And you've had Proverbs 24, 10, 11, and 12 emblazoned into your heart in the last couple of days here. So just go with that. Just go with that. People are like, how do you go out to the clinic? I mean, what do you do? When I went, like the first time I went, I didn't have any clue what was going on. I took my family, met with a guy named Brooks, who actually still goes to the abortion clinic. At that point, he'd been going out there for 15 or 20 years at that point, in 2011. And he was retired. He went out there every day, for the first couple of hours of each day. And Brooks took me aside after maybe the first or second time. We just went out to watch and to pray. And he said, John, all I want you to do is pray about what God would have you to do, and then go do that. Very basic. I'm like, I can do that. So we went home, we prayed. Well, I've been street preaching at that point for several years. And I thought, well, I know how to street preach. And he wasn't doing much of that. He was talking to the women. He was engaging them rightly, offering help, everything like that. But he wasn't preaching much. And so I came back the next week. I said, I don't know if he's going to let me do this. I walked up to Brooks and I said, hey, man, I got an idea. I was praying about it. I think I just want to preach, you know, like at the end. Give me the last 15 minutes. He says, great. You can go right over here at that particular location. It's not open anymore. But he says, stand over in this spot. It's like 15 feet maybe to the front door. And it was legal, public easement. Didn't even need a mic. Just preach to that wall. And they can hear you in there. And so I did. And that was my introduction to abortion clinic, really what I was going to do. Just going to go and take the gospel and preach at the clinic. We do it at church. We all agree it's a good thing to do at church. You know, we go to college campuses out in the public, and we go out on the streets. I've been doing that for years at festivals and events, sporting events, colleges, all over the place. I'll just take what I've been doing everywhere else, and I'll just take it to the clinic and preach at the clinic. And I thought, you know, probably when I get there, the pro-lifers will be happy, you know, that somebody else is coming out. And, you know, and when I was with Brooks, he was happy, but we didn't have any of the typical pro-lifers out there. So I thought that Brooks was just like every other pro-lifer, that they'd be happy when I show up. Well, then I moved to Syracuse and went to where it's really a Roman Catholic stronghold. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to do the same thing. And I walked on out there, and I got people telling me I'm doing it all wrong, you know. This is before Babies Are Murdered Here came out. They're getting up in my face. I had to go have private meetings with them and try to reason with them and all that stuff. And I found out that the secular pro-life movement doesn't want the gospel at the abortion clinics. And they don't want you calling it sin, and they don't want you calling it murder. So when we came out with Babies Are Murdered Here, and we did that, the people that called the FBI on me were not the pro-choicers. The people that called the FBI on me were the pro-lifers. People that if I told you their names, you'd know them instantly. Like Abby Johnson, for example. All right? So, true story. And so what I'm saying is they hate the gospel. Now, you need to embrace that. The pro-life movement hates the gospel. They hate it. They hate it. They don't want it out there. And what they will do is they will do everything they can to get you to stop. They'll slander you. So you got to decide if you're going to do this, that you're not going to have a fan club. They're not going to bring you the key to the city. They're not going to buy you cookies when you show up out there and give you an attaboy. You need to go out there with the idea that I'm here to preach the gospel to these women that are coming here to murder their children and the men that are bringing them, to the staff and all that. But you also need to understand you're preaching that gospel to the pro-lifers who are standing out there because they're lost as a rock. You need to share the gospel with them. They're lost. They're lost. I don't see. I know this sounds like really aggressive. I'm just passionate about this. We need to love God enough to obey Him. Now, look. We got mostly Reformed churches in attendance here. So I'm going to say some stuff that y'all, if you're Reformed, you're probably not going to like it. I'm Reformed, 1689, but you're not going to like it. All right. So let's talk about the Reformed Church for a minute. Reformed pastors, I know there's a few here. So let me just tell you what's up. When we try to get people out to the clinic, it sure would help if there are already people going out to the street. Now the rub on Reformed theology is, or the word on the street about Reformed theology is, that we are so like hyper-Calvinistic that we don't care about evangelism. And I used to argue against that. Used to. But I do know there's a lot of good churches out there street preaching. But I also know a lot of them that are not doing anything to go out and reach the lost in their communities. It's a much smaller jump to go from the street to the clinic than it is to go from the pew to the clinic. See what I'm saying? So, yes, I'm advocating get to the clinic, but you better get to the street, too. The problem is that we don't love God the way we claim we love God. If we love Him, we'll obey Him, and Jesus has made it plain that we need to go out and proclaim the gospel everywhere to put that general call out there, right? So that the effectual call has somewhere to, you know, launch from, right? So get out there and obey. Get out there and obey the Great Commission. Start there. Start there and proclaim the gospel in the public. Don't stop there, but take it from there and go down to the street to the clinic, and just preach the gospel there. Now I know not, and I agree with Collie. Not everybody is good. Not every single Christian is going to do that. But you know what I think? I think every church ought to be doing it. I agree that not every individual ought to be doing it. There's some people in my church I don't want doing it. But every church ought to be having a ministry like that out there. Going out there and standing out there with love, love for God, first and foremost. Why? We love Him. The babies are dying. He's called us to rescue the perishing. He's called us to go out there and do this thing and rescue those who are appointed to slaughter. So just obey. Do you love them? Do you love them? If you love Him, you'll do something. You'll obey Him. But then it's not just all about God here, because we are called to love our neighbors in verse 31. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Preborn and born. All of them. All of your neighbors. You're preborn and born. Both. Love your neighbor. They are really ripping babies apart in the womb. They are really poisoning babies chemically. They are really doing all of that. They're doing all of that. And we need to care enough about them to get beyond all of the silly little caricatures we have in our minds about going to the abortion clinics, Reformed people. We need to get beyond that. What are some of the caricatures? Well, the people that do that, you know, they're just crazy. There's just a lot of nut jobs out there. Well, I'm not even sure I can argue that point.
Oh, Lord, forgive us for our placidity in the face of this terrible plague and Holocaust. Please let your truth be proclaimed by every church that honors you in this land, and take every false church that defends this evil and crush it under your heel. Our passion is so cold, our labors so few, our tolerance for evil, it's apparently limitless. Before we can have an impact on the culture and become effective at saving babies from the murdering hands of abortion clinics, we must first repent of our lack of care and our laziness in the midst of this slaughter. May God have mercy on us all, and may He light a fire that cleanses this land. Thank you for joining us today. Please know that we would love hearing from you. If you want to hear more about our ministry, you can find us on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. Or you can find us on the web at www.lightoftheworldradio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you will join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. As you've listened to Brother John Bede here, does it not tear at your heart? Does it not cause you to feel like you need to weep for these children that are being killed in the womb? I have always, and I've said this before, I have always considered myself to be pro-life, but never did I get involved. I would vote for a pro-life candidate when they were available, but never did I give myself to stand in the gap for these children until I came to the understanding that I need to not just be pro-life, but I need to be proactive. I need to be an abolitionist. I want to see the killing of babies in the womb ended. Brother John Speed, as you've listened to him today, I'm sure that you feel the same way. I'm sure that that has touched your heart in the same way. We have such a need to save these children because we are Christian. As Christians, as he's used the scripture here in this message, that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, and our neighbor as ourself. And these babies are our neighbors. And we need to love them as ourself. Get out and do what is right. In John 14, verse 15, it says this, and this is Jesus speaking, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." He has commanded us to love our neighbor. He has commanded us not to murder. He has commanded us to save the perishing. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is a hard thing to come to when we realize what it really is. And there are a number of groups who are abolitionist groups. Get online, research, find that abolish abortion group in your area. Get on Facebook and find it. I know that here in Kansas, we will be doing a conference and doing a day at the legislature here in Kansas in February so that we here can stand in the gap. And we're calling you to stand in the gap as well. We have people from this little tiny church that go to the abortion clinics and they stand and they pray. They talk with those who are going in. They show them the love of Christ and the direction of Christ. Won't you be praying how God would use you to put an end to abortion? Until next time, Soli Deo Gloria.